I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle, and as always, we are rewriting the entirety.
Did I do it wrong?
Yeah, you forgot to say welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia podcast.
Man.
Yeah. It's been a while, dude. Season three has been rough for us.
We've only been doing this for over 2 years now.
I know, but like, it's so much easier when we're like in the same room and circumstances are better.
All right. Hush, baby child. Hush. Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia podcast. I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle, and as always, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our damn heads, one page at a time, and easy and convenient to listen to podcast form. Season three, we're in the thick of it, Glenn.
Yeah, we are. We are that. So thick.
Yeah, it's like gravy.
It's like when you're mixing pudding and you didn't put enough milk in.
Yeah, it's like when you make a microwave mug brownie, and that batter thick.
It's like when you have a beard, and then sometimes you're like scratching at it, and you just find like one hair that for some reason is like a goddamn pencil lead that you pull out of your face. Like, why are you so much thicker than your buddies? And then you look at it for a while, just amazed at what your own body can produce.
Well, I mean, now that everyone who's listening turned this off, it feels like feels like a good time to introduce this week's guest. I'm thrilled to have our guest on this week. You might know him from the Slow Readers podcast. You might know him because he's an all-around delightful human being who's a good person to know. Gabe Mara. Hi, friend.
Hi, guys. Hi, welcome. John. Hi, Glenn. Glad to be here.
Hello there. I know Gabe from the time that we did an improvised stand-up show together.
That was a good time.
That was a very fun one. Those are fun shows to do.
Yeah, I apparently like cursed you somehow by... Are you still getting hard kombucha ads?
It was honestly for like 2 weeks, and it was like the specific one that you mentioned and held up. And so I don't know if there just aren't a lot of brands of it, or if like that's the one that's going hard with advertising.
There are many brands, dude. It's 2020.
We on a show I used to host, we did a segment where we talked to a guy who made kombucha, and that would have been the only time in my life I googled the word kombucha. And that was almost 10 years ago. And then,
and now look at you, almost, you're a kombucha empire.
Immediately. Yeah, almost immediately after getting that call, Facebook's like, yo, we hear you love kombucha.
I tried kombucha, like tried to get into it a couple years back, and I was buying from like a local producer, and ultimately I was like, this isn't that great. I can do without it. And I forgot that it was in my fridge. And the downside of that was if you don't vent the bottle, all the CO2 kind of like, you know, builds up and builds up. And then one day I came home and it in my fridge looked like a bomb went off in it, and it's because the glass kombucha thing exploded. Yeah, it was a nightmare.
That sounds about right. It's a lot of, you know, just slow carbonation. I used to make my own kombucha for a restaurant I worked at, and you know, it was really like painstaking work and also like fractionally dangerous.
Yeah, I used to brew beer. It's the same thing. They're like, oh yeah, when you prime it for bottling, don't put in too much or they'll literally become tiny little bombs.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Boy, Gabe,
delicious,
when you were making kombucha, were you like really into talking about the SCOBY that you had?
Yeah.
Well, it was from my...
What was the consistency of your mother?
dude, it was thick. It was like at least like an inch and a half, 2 inches. It was this big, thick motherfucker. It looked like several layer, like a human face, like pulled out. It was just this big, thick beast. Like, I don't know if you guys are Doctor Who fans.
You're really selling kombucha.
Oh yeah, no, it looks like that stretched out woman's face on top of a jar, and you know, it tasted great, but like, dude, feeling it was terrible. It was terrible every time.
We should change the format of this podcast to just talk about thick things.
Yeah, just things that are thick.
Yeah,
thick chat with John Gabe.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Keeping it thick.
Ooh, yeah. Stay thick, daddy.
Thick daddy.
Thick daddies. Gabe, so this feels like a natural time for us to stop talking about Thick Daddies because we got to brainstorm.
We got to
brainstorm what that podcast looks like after this. But for now, as our guest, you get to pick this week's topic, which we will then attempt to rewrite the Wikipedia page before we look at actual Wikipedia. So what are you thinking we should talk about?
All right, guys, I thought about this long and hard. I was thinking about bringing abstract expressionism, but I thought that's silly. That's not a deep well. It's just paint on a board. So I decided, because it is like October almost, that maybe go with the feel of it all, and I decided to select the Goosebumps series of books.
Ooh, R.L. Stine.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
If this should actually be the first episode we release in October.
Hey!
So
spooky perfect. Book talk.
You really lined it up. Spooky book
talk. And time. I like that you picked a topic that lets you like shamelessly promote your literary podcast as well.
Who, me?
Very creative.
Yeah, I thought about it. I decided to get some synergy going.
R.L. Stine's Goosebumps series. So, fun fact, I was slightly too old for Goosebumps.
Really?
I missed it. Or either I missed it or I just didn't care at the time.
I think the second one, because aren't we like 6 months apart in age? We're close, right?
Yeah, we're close.
I'm older than you, right?
No, I'm older than you.
Wasn't I shocked to find that out? I thought, all right.
How old are you guys?
What are you, like 68?
Yeah, I am 68.
You're out there reading the poem.
Yeah. It's true, and you got to be careful because the paper quality is not great.
Yeah.
It's not good. That ink's going to run if you get it.
Yeah, true.
Can't be reading Raymond Chandler in the
Oh, God.
Have you guys read the latest H.P. Lovecraft publication?
I have.
Oh, this
What a racist piece of garbage he was.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
that guy sucked.
He was not a great guy.
Your understatement of the year. R.L. Stine's Goosebumps. Made popular because of the Scholastic book fairs of the 80s and 90s, maybe?
Hell yeah.
Right?
I assume?
For sure available. At
the I think that's the secret to the distribution success, right? Like, I think that's where most of his readers picked up those books.
Probably. And I feel like the covers were a big grabby thing for a little kid.
Yeah, they were beautiful. I love those things.
The ones that stand out were like the spooky mask one.
No, the haunted mask.
There was one with the plant man. Don't go into the basement. Daddy's basement. Plant basement. I don't remember the name.
Daddy's basement.
That's the one. Daddy's basement.
Yeah, I actually think it was called.
That's the one.
I think that was Fear Street, because that's a little bit more adult.
I'm pretty sure it was Thick Daddy's basement.
This was definitely Thick Daddy's basement. No, I think it was called Don't Go Into the Basement. The one character's dad is a botanist, and he's like, hey, don't go in the basement, hence the title. But they go in the basement, and he's doing weird experiments, and then he swamp things himself.
As one is wont to do.
And then, oh, you know what? I think it was called Oops, I Swamp Things Myself.
Hey, a little
honey, we swamp.
Swamp Thing is one of the comic books that actually got me into reading comics like 5 years ago.
Hey,
Swamp Thing is one of the shows that made me watch USA.
There was a Swamp Thing
there
show
was a
on
Swamp
USA.
Thing show on USA.
Yeah, I think.
I know there was like a DC Universe show.
This was when we were like Goosebumps aged. So like too adult for little Glenn. That's why I found it boring. I thought it would be fun because there was a plant guy,
right?
But it was all about like his relationship with this lady. I'm like, I don't care about this. Do plants?
Yeah, but at its core, most of Swamp Thing is about a plant fucking a lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that now.
Yeah.
It's love though. It's not just fucking. I'm pretty sure it's gentle tendril sex.
Yeah.
I can't wait until we, like, I would Google it now, but it's
antithetical. Yeah, I thought, isn't that the point of the show?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was on USA. They might have rerun it on Sci-Fi, but I think they're owned by the same company or were.
Did it run like concurrently if like their Weird Science show and like La Femme Nikita?
Yeah.
Nice.
I have memories.
I don't wanna.
And when Gilbert Godfrey was hosting USA Up On.
Hey, you could go ahead and Google that because we're supposed to be talking about Goosebumps, not the USA Swamp Thing show.
See, I just know more about shows that made me feel weird in my pants when I was nine or whatever.
All right.
Than I do. I didn't read a lot of Goosebumps books.
Yeah, I don't.
I read Daddy's Basement.
Thick Daddy's Basement.
I remember it vividly. I think it was that one where the kid's best friend had what, like, an undercut, which is like now a very trendy thing. But they're like, oh, he had long hair on top, and he let it fall over like buzz sides, and the main character's mom hated it and thought that made that kid a bad kid. But he ended up saving everybody, I think, from the plant daddy. The one where the kid turns into a bee. I stopped reading that one because I was afraid of bees.
Is there like a grim story why you're afraid of bees, or just bees are just bad?
No, I got stung one time when I was a little kid and didn't care for it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's
I'm like, this is...
It's not a great sensation.
This isn't for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've teamed up with wasps recently, though. My pandemic hobby is murdering spotted lantern flies. And apparently wasps are also pretty into that. So I walk around my yard with a fly swatter, hitting bugs on my tree, and then sometimes I'll see like a wasp just eating one alive. I'm like, you got that one already, bud? All right, cool. So me and wasps.
I was really hoping you meant like you have like a bunch of wasps on a leash, or you have like a wasp gun, like somehow.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Like it just launches right out of your hands. I'm like, cool.
I'm working on it. I'm in the R&D phases of my wasp.
I thought he was just walking around the neighborhood with a bunch of women named Karen and Lydia.
Chauncey, get in here.
Chauncey's the name of her schnauzer.
It's like, excuse me, we don't believe in chance substantiation in this group. I'm Catholic.
It's my job to get us back on topic because we do have a ticking clock. Goosebumps.
Series of books meant to scare little kids. Got them excited about reading. Not like moral heavy, if I remember from the ones I read.
I don't think so either.
They weren't like, you know, oh, if you listened to your parents, the monster ventriloquist dummy wouldn't have gotten. I couldn't say ventriloquist just now. Despite a legitimate interest in that art.
Oh.
It's fun. But the dummy, there were a couple dummy ones. I had those. I liked them. The dummy was bad. Not the books. Like, he's a bad dummy.
Oh, yeah.
That one had many sequels, I think. It was like Night of the Dummy or something.
Yeah. A couple of them there's the, I think the theme park one got a couple.
Let's stay on the dummy really quick, though.
Scary roller coaster.
Let's stay on the dummy, because Gabe, you are coming to us. You're coming to us with a literary background, and I'm just curious: are there any ventriloquist stories where the dummy isn't evil? Because I feel like universally, it's always evil.
I don't know. That's a great question. Yes, the only one I can think of is the classic Key and Peele sketch where there's a little homie. Little homie is.
If I wanted Key and Peele sketch commentary, I'd go to Glenn. You're the book guy.
Oh, no, there are no good book stories about good dummies, good ventriloquist dummies. That's not a thing. They're inherently evil. Was there a Howdy Doody like book series?
That's a good question. Probably.
There's like a novelization.
There was probably also almost definitely a Charlie McCarthy.
Hmm.
Or like a pamphlet.
Oh good. Like, oh good. Let's talk about pamphlets.
Charlie McCarthy was one of the most famous characters of his day, and he was a ventriloquist dummy on a radio. Like, that's nothing.
Wait,
like,
he was a dummy on the radio? What's the point?
Yeah. It was Edgar Bergen, and his dummy was Charlie McCarthy. And it was Candice Bergen's dad. And she was raised like to act like this dummy was her legitimate sibling.
Cool.
And yeah, but it was
that by itself,
crazy that this that show by itself so
should be the premise of a Goosebumps novel, right? Child raised alongside of a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, like that should be.
Yeah, that sounds way more of like a creepily perverse, like a Tales from the Crypt episode.
But the Adrian Brody movie Dummy, the dummy is not a bad.
Never saw that one.
He doesn't like come to life. He's just Adrian Brody's like coping mechanism from being a weird guy. It's really good. I like that movie a lot. I don't think it's streaming anywhere, and it bums me out.
There's a
movie called Magic, that was a Bill Goldman novel that he wrote the screenplay for, where Anthony Hopkins is a magician / ventriloquist. That dummy.
I mean,
yeah. Goosebumps.
It's on HBO Max if you want to watch a weird
what movie. I mean, do we need to give some like basic facts about R.L. Stine? I mean, he probably has his own page, but we should get some like just greatest hits.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Name, I think.
I feel like what's his real name, Gabe?
Richard Linklater.
Robert Loggia Stine. No, I know next to nothing about Goosebumps, which is kind of why I decided to bring this to the chat, because I thought maybe you guys could elucidate me, because I only read like, I don't know, like, yeah, I was the right age for like the Scholastic book fairs, but I mainly liked the covers, but I only read maybe a handful of them.
I feel that.
Yeah, I feel like I've read
not
maybe
read
five.
Any, but I feel that any book that I got at a Scholastic book fair, I never read. Unless it was a choose your own adventure, and those barely count as reading.
Yeah, that's just like playing it yourself.
Yeah. But like, I do think we hit the nail on the head. I think Goosebumps was distributed through Skull. Really, I think that that's a thing.
Yeah, no, that was definitely like always a big highlight, because there would be like those videos of like, here's the newest releases in the Scholastic Book Fair. Check it out. Get your pan pizzas. Or is that was Book It, not Scholastic.
Wait, there. I was gonna say they had hype videos for Book It. I don't remember that.
They should bring it back.
Oh God, they should. Actually, they should do a Book It for adults during this stupid.
Yeah, why is that
pandemic.
Not a thing? Why isn't there Book It for adults?
Because we all could theoretically buy pizza and read a book if we really
but
wanted to.
But I'd rather get a free book, pizza for doing something I already want to do, which is why I got so much free pizza when I was a kid.
Hold, I'll one up you. I would rather get a free book for eating a bunch of pizza.
Great, that just released Pizza It.
Yeah,
it's just because I feel like the reason adults can't do it is. How old were you when you realized you could?
Oh, like around like late middle school.
Yeah, you just be like, oh, I don't need to actually. I can just say I did it and then still get pizza. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Because Pizza Hut didn't care. You were getting a little kid's pan pizza that probably cost them 40 cents, and they're getting your parents in there. That's where the money is. Get that parent money.
Yeah. That's where it's at.
Yeah, they're going to get a salad.
All right, well, we're running out of time for our first half of this episode. We got to pull up Wikipedia, so quick, right. Rapid fire. Everything you can think about Goosebumps, ready, go.
Who, me?
First one published in 1989.
Okay.
Was it Night of the Demons?
Why how not? Many of them?
I can't name
how many
others.
Of them do you think there are?
400.
Ooh, that's too high. That's too high.
You're gonna be goddamn surprised when you Google it, and it's exactly.
I'm
the
cutting
right
you
number.
In half. It's 200.
Oh.
They're not all written by R.L. Stine anymore. It's like a
young adult
Charlize Theron movie.
Great movie.
Young adult. Yeah. Where some like other people are writing under the R.L. Stine brand,
right.
He's off writing like grown-up books.
Right. It's like It's like that idiot James Patterson. He doesn't write anything anymore. Mm-hmm. He can't write anything anymore because he's got to spend all his time producing documentaries to try and prove he knew nothing about Jeffrey Epstein.
Uh-oh.
That was the thing that I took away from the first two episodes of that Netflix series. I haven't finished it yet, but like he's the exec producer on it. He's the exec producer on it, and he narrates a lot of it because he was Epstein's next door neighbor. So to me, the whole thing came off like he was like, I gotta get let people know I had nothing to do with this.
Get ahead of it.
But I don't know. I haven't finished it yet. Maybe it'll.
I mean, I don't know that much about my next door neighbors.
It's true. You got.
I'm gonna produce a documentary about Ed.
All right, just last call, and then we gotta step aside and pay the bills.
I think they started in '89, really popped off. Probably, man, when do I remember seeing these bad boys? 91.
Yeah.
Took 2 years, and. 15 books before it really went bananas. Whoever did the covers probably did like the first 50. They did a super good job, made kids want to read the book because they had a scary.
Yeah, the logo was like slimy. It was like drippy.
Next time the 3D
letters. Ooh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bumpy. Had to be. It's in the name. Like the front, like it's not flat. Like it's.
Yeah. Big. It was embossed for sure.
What? Throw some titles out. Night of the Dummy. Night of the Dummy 2. Another Night.
Thick Daddy's Basement. Thick Daddy.
Thick Daddy's Basement 2.
Oops, I'm a bee now.
Boy Turns Into a Bee.
Child
My homework ate my mother.
There's a slime monster now. Oh, yeah. No.
The evil clock.
What if clouds?
What if?
Scary clouds.
The mask that is not the one from the Jim Carrey movie, but a different scary mask.
Uh-oh, something's under the bed again.
Ah, dang it, a monster. That's not a tag on yours.
It's yeah, no, I know. Title.
Ah, oh, dang it!
The bad circus.
Not My Teacher Is an Alien.
Yeah, that was Bruce Coville.
Series of children's books that I like. That's Bruce Coville. I know those ones pretty good.
Not the Sega Genesis game Zombies Ate My Neighbors, which I wish I was playing right now. Game. Not because I don't like you guys. It's just super fun.
Yeah, apparently they're crowdsourcing a sequel. It's called Demons Ate My Neighbors. So the name is Damn.
Huh. Oh, I both am excited and hate that.
Do you think that's because they regret not thinking of that back then? Like they got really far into production on the zombies thing. They're like, oh, man, it's too late to change it now. We already did all this work. But if these were demons, it would be Damn. And that's.
I don't know. But you know what I do know?
Spooky lunch.
Yeah.
Monster sandwich.
I do know spooky lunch and monster sandwich, but I also know we have to step aside, take a break. We got to pay some bills, do a wonderful ad read. And then when we come back, we will read the official Wikipedia page for Goosebumps.
There was a TV show and another TV show and movies.
Jack Black. Hey everyone, John here from the Improvised Wikipedia podcast, along with Glenn and this week's special guest, Gabe Mara, here to do an ad read. You know, these ads are super important to help us through these challenging times.
I love it.
They really do. We famously only charge $8 for these ads, and I am thrilled. I'm thrilled to talk about this week's sponsor, who Glenn's going to tell you about right now.
This week, the Improvised Wikipedia podcast is brought to you by Gears. That's right, Gears. Did you ever look at a circle and just wish that the edges had bumpy teeth? Well, get yourself some Gears. That's exactly what
they are. Are you a 10-year-old boy who got a bike? You care more about Gears than most people.
They're
Are you into steampunk? Just throw some gears on some shit,
and they're not to be
that's
confused
steampunk
with
now,
sprockets.
Fuck sprockets. They haven't paid a shit.
Space Lee!
Get out of here, Space Lee, you piece of garbage.
Are you like a 75-year-old man from like the Alps? You probably have drawers full of gears for clock making.
That would make you a horologist.
Do you need to?
Yep.
Yeah. Didn't you guys listen
to
S-Town?
Is that really what that's called?
Nope.
Yeah. But that wasn't my main
thing. Horology? Wasn't your main takeaway?
From the murder podcast. No, I probably giggled at it and then forgot. Do you think people got into it by accident?
I mean, I did.
Thought it was something else. I gotta make clocks now. Oh,
hey kid, you want to make time?
What kid is gonna say yes to that?
I don't know, a horny one who was really good about gears.
Gears.
Do you need to change the rate at which something is rotating and maybe affect its torque? Get some gears.
Do you want
to
play Streets of Rage on a much lesser, tinier screen of a comparable soundtrack? Use Game Gears.
Oh man, that ate batteries.
Yeah, that thing was a beast.
Just
that
chomp,
thing
chomp them bad
eight
boys.
Eight double A batteries. Yes.
Hey, do you have eight double A batteries that I can use for 30 minutes?
Use promo code ImprovWikiPodHorology at checkout for 10% off gears. Okay, we are back from what I can only assume was a fantastic ad read, and I have up in front of probably.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Take my money.
I have in front of me the official Wikipedia page for Goosebumps. One quick note that this article is about the book series. For bumps on human skin, you're going to see Goose Space Bumps.
Space Bumps?
Space Bumps?
Space Bumps? I'm into. That's the sci-fi spin-off of Goosebumps. All right,
there is a Disambig page. Talks about the original series. There is apparently a Goosebumps video game series.
Hmm.
Music. Mac Miller had a song called Goosebumps, but it was with a Z at the end.
Sure.
Because, of course. Yeah. Man. He died,
he
right?
He did die.
That's sad.
Yeah, poor Ariana.
I don't know.
Mm. All right, Goosebumps is a series of children's horror fiction novels by American author R.L. Stine, published by Scholastic Printing.
But what does R.L. Right, stand so for real?
I'd have to click through, so I'll do that real quick.
Rhizome.
All right, any last guesses?
Real life.
No, it was actually Robert Lawrence Stine.
Yeah. I called the Robert.
Yeah, that's something. The stories follow child characters who find themselves in scary situations, usually involving monsters and other supernatural elements. From 1992 to 1997, 62 books were published under the Goosebumps umbrella title. Various spin-off series were written by Stine, including Goosebumps Series 2000, Give Yourself Goosebumps, Tales to Give You Goosebumps, Goosebumps Triple Header, Goosebumps Horrorland, Goosebumps Most Wanted, and Goosebumps Slappy World.
Oh my god!
Is Slappy World a real one? Or did you
it is.
I was
going to
say
Goosebumps
Tokyo Drift.
No, it's 100%. No, it's 100% real. Clicking through because it's got. It is Goosebumps Slappy.
That makes so much sense.
It's the newest series. It was launched in time for the 25th anniversary of Goosebumps and features Slappy the Dummy as the narrator and/or primary antagonist of each book.
Yeah, makes that some Crypt Keeper.
Yeah,
he's like Crypt Keeper in it.
Yeah.
So how many? That's a lot of series. How many total books?
I don't know. Let's keep going here.
Because in 5 years, they did
62.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
All right. Well, since the release of its first novel, Welcome to Dead House, in July of 92, the series has sold over 400 million books worldwide in 32 languages.
And a live house becoming would be scary.
The second best-selling book series after the piece of shit J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter.
Mm, never heard of it.
Individual books in the series have been listed in several bestseller lists, including New York Times list for children's. So that's your opening paragraph.
All right.
Books in the series. 235.
All right.
Your own fart.
No, but I said 200, so it's still
Price is Right rule.
Well, which is why I'm mad.
Glenn, remember, we've only been doing this for 2 years. You and I are on the same team here, bud.
I know that in my heart.
And it certainly doesn't feel like it, you know that in your heart. All right. So the Goosebumps series is broken down. This page is broken down into a couple different headings. We've got structure, inspiration, characters, and then kind of a bunch of lists. So.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't talk about the meme.
I don't think that's going to be on this page, though. Just
might be in the legacy page.
I feel like it might be.
Maybe. The Goosebumps series falls under children's fiction, horror, and thriller genres, although Stein characterizes the series as, quote, scary books that are also funny. I've never read any of these. Were they funny?
I don't remember them being very funny. Maybe they're like Evil Dead funny. Like, this is silly. No, not haha funny.
So not funny at all. Yeah, take that, Sam Raimi fans.
The books in the Goosebumps series feature similar plot structures with fictional children being involved in scary situations. At his peak, Stein was known to complete these stories extremely quickly, some of which were written in only 6 days.
That's almost a week.
Some of them do feel like that.
The books are mostly written in first-person narrative, often concluding with twist endings. They contain surreal horror with characters encountering strange and supernatural. This is another redundant Wikipedia page. I feel like they're...
Yeah, some of it is... Some of them are a little like Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Where it's like, oh, now a twist. Slappy was a nice dummy. He was always bad.
No, there's like a magic camera or something, and like people like die and he took a photo of them, and then there's always a twist ending where the kid took a photo of himself. He invented the selfie and died or something.
That sounds like
it. So R.L. Stein does kind of cite Tales for the Crypt for some of his inspirations. He also cites The Adventures of Pinocchio as the inspiration for Slappy the Dummy. And then a lot of them come from real life. Stein got the idea for the book The Haunted Mask after his son, Matt, had a Halloween mask that he had trouble taking off.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That was haunted.
Spooky.
Robert L. Sr. was like, don't go into my basement.
Get out of that basement. I'm looking it up right now.
So yeah, there's like a list of reoccurring characters that's in here. Obviously Slappy the Dummy is the most notable. There's a spinoff, and then there's a section on all the spinoffs, but honestly I don't really care about that. It's just we already talked about them up top.
Yeah, like the one I remember the most is just Goosebumps 2000, and I'm like, what was the point of that? Was it just more Goosebumps of different branding?
Well,
I like Goosebumps.
Yeah, big fan of that one. Sweet like reimagining.
I love that. Let's see. Goosebumps was listed 15th in the list of most frequently challenged books during the 90s.
Okay.
That's kind of interesting for parents to spend their time trying to ban Goosebumps books. That's funny.
Stay out of the basement. Wow. It's the second Goosebumps
book. There you go.
You killed it.
So here is a very interesting thing I did not know. There are six Goosebumps video games.
Six.
Six. I know,
well,
right?
Well, how many were based on the movie, though? I think that's a bigger question.
Well, here, I got the list for you right here. Two. So, let's see. I'm guessing. 1996, there was a game called Escape from Horror Land. In 97, there was a game called Attack of the Mutant.
Yeah, Horrorland, I think, is the one that I said. Like, the
there was one video game, Goosebumps, the game that was a prequel to the 2015 film.
Okay.
Goosebumps Night of Scares is a mobile game based on the film. And then there was another mobile game called Goosebumps Horror Town released in 2018.
Solid.
Yeah. Sort of the end of it. This is like not... This is not an interesting Wikipedia entry by any measure.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
I was really expecting more from this. It feels like they just kind of pooped out one draft.
Which, I guess, is the most appropriate thing they could have done.
Yeah. So, fully in the spirit.
There's Ghost Camp. I'm looking at the list.
Oh.
There's another one called I Live in Your Basement. I don't know if that's related.
Okay, so we jokingly
get out of the basement. I live down there. That's my stuff. Get out. I pay rent. You're not allowed just because you're my landlord. You can't just barge in whenever
you're violating
you
the lease,
it's
Greg.
It's just 123 pages. Of that. Yeah, I have squatters.
We jokingly listed a lot of fake titles, but like if you genuinely were to like take something that scared you as a child to adapt into a story for Goosebumps, like genuinely, what would that childhood fear be or like memory?
Whom?
Like for me, I mean, we can all answer it, but for me, I was very scared of the Count from Sesame Street as a child because I was very bothered by the fact that nobody seemed to care about the imminent threat of him being a vampire.
See, that's also a Goosebumps book for sure. That would be like the Goosebumps story. Yeah, it's like, everyone, that vampire is real, but it's a puppet, but it's still a vampire.
Yeah. That's mine.
And I had a really generic like fear as a kid. It's always just like of the dark and whatnot. But I guess at the end of the day, like it's still like creepy crawlies and spiders. So I don't know, probably some goosebumpy adventure about giant spiders. Not very exciting, but it kind of makes you want to vomit.
Man. Ooh.
Mine's so much more specific. The announcer from WPIX Channel 11, who would announce the weekend movies. I really like, you know, you watch Saturday morning cartoons and at a certain point it switches over to movies for bored adults.
Sure.
Where it's like War Games or whatever. The guy who would announce those, I looked his name up once. He died a couple years ago and I had mixed feelings about it. I would be so excited that I would watch like Neverending Story or whatever, but I would run out of the room. When the cut in thing, you would see like the Channel 11 logo. I would rush out of the room.
I was hoping you were going to say like, yeah, I was terrified of him. He was a close family friend and he always looked at me wrong.
Yeah, he lived in our basement. It was really weird.
It all comes together.
He was a.
Yeah. So the Goosebumps version.
Oh,
is
I know that's a good
that
story.
That guy would start talking to me specifically, I think. And then
I'd look at that at this classic book fair and ultimately just pick three Choose Your Own Adventures instead.
Because the twist is, they knew I was the only one watching. bird on a wire at 11:30 on a Saturday. So, like, it's just everybody's outside,
and like it's just a little kid, like, come
mess with this kid,
like, come on, guys. Yeah,
why is he watching this?
Boy, is he just a really big Goldie Hawn fan at age 11?
Oh man. Well, Gabe, as our guest and the person who wanted to know more about Goosebumps, it's your responsibility now to decide if you think we did better or worse, or if it was a tie between us and what was actually on Wikipedia.
You guys did far better. I want to like readjust my childhood memories so that your books were the real ones.
It's the nicest thing a guest has ever said on this show. Thank you so much, Gabe.
Yeah.
I mean, we could spend 6 days.
Yeah, I mean, nonsense my understanding is the bar is pretty low in children's literature.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Well, Gabe, thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure, guys.
It was a great suggestion that affords you the opportunity to shamelessly plug the Slow Readers podcast, which you can do right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you like books and you like nonsense and you like two guys sitting in a room getting wine drunk and complaining about books, I have a great podcast for you. It is called Slow Readers, your weekly fast-paced literature podcast, where Daniel Gonzalez and I discuss all things words. This month coming up, it is Oatstober, so we're doing nothing but Joyce Carol Oates short stories, and we should be having some fun guests doing it. It's gonna be a great time. We're big fans of Joyce Carol Oates, so expect a lot of really, really not kid friendly, grim, dark, like fucking horrible, like suspense and horror stories.
I am surprised to hear that, Gabe, because so many people are doing Oatstober these days. That like I thought you were gonna be like, there's just too, it's the market is oversaturated for this, but good for you guys.
Every now and again, you got to go commercial because like you know, be like people talk a lot about all things popular. It's Fast and the Furious, Joyce Carol Oates. So sometimes you got to be commercial, just a little bit. They want oats.
You got to give the people what they want, and they want oats.
I'm more of a Hall guy myself.
Yeah, I know that Joyce Carol Oates is a writer, but I mostly know her as somebody who
she gives no fucks. She's
on Twitter
ancient.
That people get mad at.
She looks like Christina Ricci's mom or something, and she's very old.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for having me. This was a hoot.
Thanks.
Take that, Joyce.
Thanks to everybody except Joyce. Rate, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff.
You know what you do.
And remember to tune in for Glenn, Gabe, and my new podcast, Thick Daddy's Basement.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.